Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 2 Peter. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
There's the day of Christ, and the day of Christ describes when Jesus appears in the clouds, the rapture of the church itself, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-5:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-5:11. It's the day of Christ. And the day of man. The day of man is a time period in which we are still living. As God creates man and turns over his creation to man to care for, and then remember what happened? Man got deceived and turned over what was turned over to him. The enemy took it, and here we sit. We've got allergies, right? We live in a fallen world. Here we sit. That's the truth of it. And we struggle with the things of this life. So the day of man, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, and the day of God. If you get those mixed up or confused, your theology will get mixed up and confused. You know, this is the same truth of this. If you remove Israel, out of the prophetic scene, and you say, God's done with Israel. He was done with Israel. He started this new thing called the church, and he's done work. There are people that believe this, and they say, we're done with Israel. We're not, that's over. And so now we're just working with the church, and that's it. Your theology will get messed up then too, because you won't see what is actually happening today very clearly. What seems to be up on the front of the news again, every day right now? Israel. Why? That is a small country, you guys. We almost went from top to bottom, and you know, it's a small country. And yet God's favor, I'm telling you, from the second you get off the airplane, you can sense God's favor on that place. You can sense God's presence in that place. Every square inch of that. We were asked a question, do you like it? I told you, to me, it's like a spiritual playground. It's this just, everywhere I look, everything I see, it's just, oh my gosh, can we climb on that jungle gym too? To me, it's like that. It's, oh wow, can we go look at that too? I mean, it's just fantastic. But God is dealing with the nation Israel. He loves his people. And he has made a people out of two people groups, the nation Israel and the rest of the world. There's the Jewish people, right? And there's the Gentiles. That's the two people groups. Of all the earth, that's the two people groups. If you're not of Jewish descent, you're a Gentile. Whether you like that or not, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you grew up. If you are not a Jewish person, you are a Gentile person. And out of those two people groups, when Jesus came, crucified, resurrected, the blood of the Lamb, he created a new covenant. And the new covenant, remember how the curtain was rent, access into the Holy of Holies? All of a sudden, God said, open house, man. Open house. Everybody has access. Now he created one people group called the church, which we are a part of as Christians. The church universal, the body of Christ. We are the church. Out of the two people groups, whether you're a Jewish person or you're a Gentile person, if you would believe on Jesus Christ, now you're a part of the church. So out of the two become a potential of one people group. Now, God's taking this people group called the church and trying to poke at the nation Israel and say, look at my favor that's yours that I've given to them. Gentiles and Jewish. It's wild. And it's to provoke them to come back to him. That's what he's wanting them to see. They were designed, the nation Israel was designed as a people group to provoke all the nations of the world around to look at that people group and say, oh, they are a blessed people group. Look at their God. That people group was to be a people group that all the other people groups of the world would look upon and say, look at their God. Don't you want to be a person where the people groups of the world look at you and say, man, look at that guy's God. Look at that gal's God. They are the most messed up person I've ever met, and I can see the favor of God upon that person's life. That's why I get to do what I get to do. Really, I'm not kidding you. That's why I get to do what I get to do. I don't read very well. I don't speak very well. I don't think very well. I don't do any of those things very well. I'm uncomfortable being around large groups of people, small groups of people, more than myself. This is no joke. That's really who I am inside myself. I'm uncomfortable. But God takes the base things of this world to confound the things of the wise. God wants to use you. And he wants people to look at your life, no matter what they have or what they don't have, and to say, wow, that guy loves God, and that guy has a God that loves him. That gal, I know she's been through a lot, but man, it seems like God has something going. She's got something special. And it's her God. I don't get it. It's to provoke others to come to him. That's what it's all about. All of this is not about you and me, as bizarre and crazy as that is. It's about him. It's about who God is. So now, God, as working with the church as a people group, ultimately to provoke his people and the people of the world around, his special people, the nation Israel. And though they may largely push away, push God out of the picture, they want to build this temple because the Orthodox Jewish people know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. For 2,000 years, you can go over there with us next time we go, and you can look at the stones that were pushed over the top of the Temple Mount. You can see the stones, just all these, I mean, they're giant stones, laying there from Solomon's temple and from the Herod's temple. You remember the second temple. And all those stones just shoved over the side. Remember, Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. The gold from inside oozed in between all the cracks of everything. And Titus, when the fire had started in there, and all this gold had oozed in, it's such a hot fire, it melted the gold and it fell into all the cracks. And so Titus's men went in there and pushed every stone and moved every stone to get the gold and the precious metals out of all of it. You can go over there and see this. The pile of stones is sitting there. It's just sitting there. And there's a third temple that they want to build because for 2,000 years, there's been no shedding of blood, no sacrifice. And who is it that is going to allow them, who's going to broker the deal between the Arabs, the Palestinian group? Now, that's a whole other topic, but there is no people group called the Palestinians. You just have to know that. We're being talked into that. There is no people group called the Palestinians. They're Arab people that are occupying, living in a portion of land that was once called Palestine. There's no such thing as Palestinian people. Now, the Jewish people we know heritage-wise, we can trace all of them. But they live there and occupy the Temple Mount religiously. The Jewish people have control of it governmentally. So they're the only ones allowed to have guns on the mountain, on the top of the mountain. They want to build this temple. The Orthodox Jews want to build this temple. Now, they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. They are feverishly working to build this temple. We support this. I support them building this. Please. Because as soon as this temple gets built, as soon as they start to offer sacrifice, man, we're out of here. Because as soon as this deal that's going to get broken, it's going to be a peace deal made. And the peace deal that's going to be made is they're going to be able to build their temple on the Temple Mount. Somehow, religiously, it's going to be the necessities will be satisfied, whatever that is, as far as location and how it's. And they will begin to sacrifice again. And they're looking for a man. This is what the scripture, and this is, they quote a scripture, they're looking for a man like Moses. This is what they're looking for, and that's their Messiah. They are looking for Messiah still. To them, Messiah has never come. They're looking for Messiah. They're looking for this temple to be built. Messiah is going to be the one that's going to allow them to build the temple. This is, unfortunately for them, going to be the Antichrist. And 3.5 years into this 7-year period of time, church is raptured at the beginning, 3.5 years into this, the abomination, which was spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, which Jesus quoted, said, the abomination which causes desolation, when that takes place, flee to the rocks, the safe haven of Petra. The whole thing that's going to happen is the people, the Jewish people, when they see this take place, this person, I want to be worshiped as God now. This is what he's going to declare. That's the abomination, which then causes desolation. He wants to be worshiped as God. And all of a sudden, the scales, this is the description in the Bible, the scales are going to fall from their eyes. In other words, they're going to see this person, the son of perdition, for who he is. And they're going to realize, oh, we missed it. This isn't Messiah. And there's going to be a radical salvation that's going to take place of those coming to the true Yeshua, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the thing. The group that's working diligently was established in 1987. 1987, most of us were alive during 1987. Most of us. And in 1987, this group was formed called the Temple Institute. And they have been working feverishly, gathering resources in order to buy everything they need to build this temple. This isn't, I put it in, if you go to the website or you go to the, use the app on your phone, it's located on there, the website. So you can go to it. You can see what they've done. I've seen it with my own eyes, what the ephod that the high priest is going to wear in the new temple. They're very open. They put this out in display, you know, inside there. It's very well guarded and protected and stuff. And I told you last week about the menorah that they built that sits overlooking the Western Wall. It has no more. It was moved around the city on display and all this stuff. And it was asked, well, is it going to move? Where's its next place before, you know? No, it's never going to move again until it gets moved from where it sits right now, looking out over the Western Wall, until it moves to go into the new temple. How close are we? How close are we? I don't know. All I can give you is the facts of what's going on presently. Since 1987, this group has been working. And they've got the trumpets, they've got the racks for the showbread, they've got, I mean, everything built to exact specification biblically and rabbinically to their exacting measures and amounts of gold and overlaid this and all everything, acacia wood that this overlaid. They have an ark there that they built, an Ark of the Covenant. It's crazy stuff. This is the crazy part. This is all motivated by the Word of God. And they don't know Jesus Christ. God spoke it, and it is going to happen. I like verse 11. He talked about everything burning in a fervent heat, right? Verse 10, the day of the Lord. Then verse 11, because of that, remember? Whenever there's a therefore, you got to know what's it there, right? Because of this, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, everything's going to be wiped out, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's a good one to kind of, I know we're getting hungry, so I don't want to use the term marinate, but I'm going to use it anyway because it's a good one for this. Let that marinate in there a little bit. Think on that this week, would you? What should our lives look like? If I believe this to be true, which I do, I would want to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want to add to my life? And Lord, what is it that maybe you would like to adjust or take out of my life? What would you like me to really focus on? Because I am telling you, brothers and sisters, we live in a time when deception is great and the power of deception is great. I have watched many, many, many lovely people become very deceived and lose sight of what's really important and what really matters. And I believe it's part of the sign of the times in which we live. And I believe you have to actually wage war in the spirit over this. I think you have to wage war, and it's through prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. You know, it's a prayerful matter. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, of God. Looking for and hastening that day of God when everything's going to be rebuilt and recreated, right? Got to see it in that light, what he's describing there. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt away with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth which righteousness dwells. Now, the nevertheless we is who? Is it the verse, the people group in verse 7? Ungodly people? No. The nevertheless we is you and I, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, the people of God. Nevertheless we, that's our, should be our focus. Therefore, beloved, as we wrap this up, looking forward to these things, are you looking forward to the things of the Lord? Is that something that you're focused on, looking forward to that? Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I wrote in my notes, am I looking forward to these things? Of course, I had to include everybody else. I wrote in my notes too, are you? Both of them have question marks. Am I and are you? It starts with me personally, you personally as an individual. And we have to question, well, gosh, is that really a focused thought? And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God's patience and long-suffering is to the benefit of our loved ones and even many of us, our friends and family. It's to the benefit of. As also our beloved brother Paul, he includes Paul in this, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. And then he says, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Notice the rest of the scriptures is part of all of the letters that he's written. It's interesting. He's coupling that together, that the rest of the scriptures and those letters, that they are equal. Again, the writings of Paul that we have. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. That's what we don't want to have happen, right? That's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want to be led away with the error of the wicked. I don't want to fall from the steadfastness of that walk with the Lord and the closeness of the walk with the Lord. But he says, instead of that, he said, man, you know this beforehand. So he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Congratulations, you have finished 2 Peter. I want you to think about this as we go our ways, that idea of growing in his grace. And I want you to think about this because it kind of stumbled across something in my readings and contemplations about this. There isn't just more grace and less grace in a sense. You and I grow in grace. We don't get more grace. It's just that's the soil that we flourish in. God's grace. God's grace is God's grace. It's not a more or less God's grace. It's God's grace is God's grace. And we flourish. That's where we grow. So if you're going to grow, so grow in grace. That's where we grow, is in grace. And he tells us this so that we might find that then the information that we gather and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So where we grow is in grace. And so the knowledge that we gain and the information we gain is found in grace. That causes us to have the right reciprocation of the information that we have. That it's dispensing and interacting based on grace, God's mercy and his goodness. Because you see, that's what we have. That's what's available today. That's what we are distributors of, God's grace and his mercy. But know it for sure. Do not be mistaken and do not be deceived. Judgment is coming. It's coming. And when we look at the Temple Institute as just a great marker. We didn't even get into, 1948, Israel became a nation. There's never been a people group on the face of the earth that have survived for any duration really of time without a national homeland. They maintained a national identity for almost 2,000 years without a homeland. And in 1948, they became a nation again. What time frame are we actually really living in then? The very end of it all is that building of that temple. And what are people fervently working toward? So what manner of life? What should be the focus of yours in my life? What should we, as a body of believers, what should we be thinking about and working toward and thinking, and focused on? This kind of puts everything into perspective. And it helps to reprioritize our lives in a way that's going to honor him and give him glory. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and he's making himself known, and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.